You're listening to Writers' Voices with Monica and Caroline on KRUU LP 100.1 FM. Our guest today is Thomas Gates, contributor to Book 2 of Thank God I, Stories of Inspiration for Every Situation. So it took you 5 years before you talked about this at all, but it took a long time before this became kind of the focus of your work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, quite
a while. And how did that process occur?
Wow, let's see what happened there. Well, over time, you know, when I talked about the light and all, that was a beautiful gold light. It was very healing and just wonderful. So I would, over time, have these experiences of that in this lifetime. It would just happen. I never knew when it would. But every time it did, there was a change in my perception. And I could see things on a different level. Mm. And one time it was huge. I was out in the woods in the country, just sitting on a porch, evening time, sun's starting to go down. And all of a sudden, everything filled up with gold, the sky. And then it came down into the trees and the leaves. And everything it touched became that. But it still had its form, individual form, the trees. And that just kept coming down. And then it came into my chest, and I felt it throughout my whole body. And I could move my hand and see, and it's like being translucent, but full of that gold. So it was a neat experience, because this time I had a body to experience it in. But after that, and that kicked me into that little phase of there only being the present. And as I drove back into town, I'd look in the rearview mirror and realize I'd just gone through a four-way stop, but I had no memory of doing it. And I wondered, like, oh, gosh,
did I stop?
I hope I stopped. Man, I better go home.
Yeah.
I went home, stayed home in bed for 5 days.
Oh my.
Never slept. I was awake the whole time. But I felt fine, but very exhilarated. And then at the end of the 5 days, everything just kind of settled down, and it was done. And I slept 8 hours, got up, felt great, like as if I'd never missed a moment of sleep. But I began to notice that I started seeing things in a whole new way, especially regarding people's physiology. So I could see inside people's physiology now. And what I see oftentimes is the remnants of trauma that have occurred in one's life. And oftentimes it's in a physical form, like a very subtle physical form, like geometric patterns and things like that. But they're related to some current experience that someone's having, some kind of distress in their body. Mm. Sometimes it even turns up as an image, like a photograph. And I'll see it. I don't know what it means, but then I'll tell it to the person I'm treating, and they'll remember, oh, yeah, back when I was 9 years old, this happened. And that may be that the reason they're there to see me is because they have a knee problem or something. And that's where this image came up. And so what I discovered over time, I've done gazillions of these sessions over the last 9 years, pretty much full time, this is what I do. I noticed that these distresses have finally evolved from those remnants of trauma. And so what I do is help people just to enliven these natural healing processes. And this light has a lot to do with it, that gold light. There are spectrums, colors that begin to appear in areas of the physiology. And then what that does is that it creates a whole lot of coherence very rapidly in the physiology, and consciousness too. It's all the same to me. You know, consciousness, physiology, that's what I mean. But then those things just kind of appear, and as they appear, they just release. I don't try to make it happen or anything. I'm just observing. It's the way the gift happened. But then there's improvement. So what I understood from that is that we have some residue of the emotional element of trauma that maybe hasn't really healed, even though some physical part did, that later will get our attention, so hopefully we'll do something about it. And so that's what I do, is help people in their healing process.
Was it at all difficult for you to, accept this idea of yourself as a healer?
Yeah. I'm twisting my arm, the reluctant healer type person. First of all, I never call myself a healer.
Okay.
I call myself a healing facilitator, mm-hmm. because I'm very aware of who's doing the healing around here. If there's any healing going on, it's you, and your physiology knows what to do. It's just that, you know, my job is to be present, make myself available, and the way it works is very natural and easy, and I'm not judging anything or making anything happen. I'm just being present to allow a process that your physiology and consciousness will know what to do with. But yeah, when the time came, I finally realized, oh, now I have to decide. Am I just going to keep this to myself and then I'll treat somebody who comes along? Or do I want to share this with more people? And I thought, it's so good. It helps people tremendously, not just on their physical level, but the level of experience in life in a very short period of time. Changes occur that maybe might take months or years. So I thought, it happened for a reason, and I should just share that. And so I put one foot out in front of the other, and I had no idea where it was going. And it just, every time I would step out, people would want that.
Now, the colors that you spoke of, is that like an aura?
Oh, I see those, but that's not really so much what it's about. They're colors that are within the physiology that will be present there.
Okay.
Like violet, a deep, rich cobalt, electric blue. There's the gold, and it's the same gold as the gold I talked about in the experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that one is extremely powerful, very coherent. Sometimes there are others. There's coral, magenta. Mostly those are the ones.
And do the specific colors mean something specific?
Yeah, they all kind of do different things. Violet is about emotions and softer material of the body, organs and things like that. The blue is more about denser material like bone structure, connective tissue like cartilage and tendons, teeth, sinuses, all that kind of thing.
Did you have to learn much about actual physiology?
Well, I've always been fascinated by that, I never studied it, but I do more now because sometimes I actually see the organs or parts of the body that I recognize and go, oh, well, that looks like that. And if I didn't know what it was, I have books, all my little anatomy books and things like that, and I'll look at that. Oh, yeah, that's what that is. So I've educated myself in a way to coincide with these experiences. And I share this with doctors. They're very interested. In fact, I'm getting ready to train. I've already trained some people in the emotional therapy, family therapy and counseling services. And now I have some doctors who are now very interested in it.
How do you train somebody else to facilitate this?
Well, I'll tell you, when I was out doing this, giving these workshops, and I was not training people, I had no idea how to do that. And people would ask me all the time, because people like learning these things, and they said, can you teach us that? How can we do that? We want to do that. And I thought, well, I don't know. I have no idea because no one taught me. One day it was just there, and it was like a gift, and that's truly what it is. So... But they kept asking, and I said, I still don't know.
Yeah, so how do you train a gift?
Finally, I said, okay, if I ever figure it out, I'll call you. So one day I was riding my bicycle down Lakeshore Drive up in along the Lake Michigan in Chicago. And I was just riding. I wasn't thinking about anything. And then all of a sudden, bang, everything was there that showed me how to structure it in a way that I could teach this. Just like someone handed me a manual. So I turned around and rode my bike back and got my computer out and my fingers tight. And so in that day, I wrote this manual. And I called these people up and said, do you still want to do that? And they said, yeah. So I said, well, come on, we're going to do it. And all I did was follow what information I had gotten, and it worked perfectly, and they could do it. It was so satisfying to me, too, the first time I got to get treated with this. That was very, very satisfying. And so I love it. I love to get treated. So I like training people, so, I get a session now and then, too.
Well, what made you decide to write?
Well, because when I would share the story, maybe just over coffee or tea, somewhere casually, people always were very moved by it, and they said, oh, you have to write a book. And I thought, now by this time, there were books on the shelves everywhere. And so my response was always, well, I've seen so many of these books on the shelves, even though I'd never read one, and I don't think I've even read one yet. Maybe parts just to see what they were talking about, but I don't know why I didn't. But anyway, I just told them, I think everything's been said, surely, don't you think? What else could there be to say? And I said, no, there's something that you're sharing that is not in those books. So I thought about it, and I went to, and I scanned through books, and I realized, oh, it'll be here if it's in there, you know, someone's mm-hmm. book. And I look mm-hmm. in the titles, and I go to the section there. I didn't see it. And so I thought, okay, all right, I'll twist my arm again. I'll write a book. So I sat down at my computer, same thing, and I just sat, and I started remembering my experience. And then my fingers started flying. So it was almost like the initial draft of this, which was shorter than the current one now, just flew out. It's not
like in a matter of days?
Pretty much, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I had intensive days where I just sat and I wrote all day long.
Now, you tell the story of the near-death experience, and then what do you tell about developing the healing spectrum technique? Are you sharing stories of people that you've treated and what's
well,
happened?
My goal is to write three books because that's what came to me to do. The first one was essentially about the experience, to share that with people and see how that might affect people. And it has two parts. The first part is the journey, a lot more detailed than that condensed version we just were reading, a lot more. So, and then the second part is about what life is like after that, because, you know, I returned with no memory. People want to know, well, what was that like and what happened?
Yeah.
And so I share some experiences about that, but then talk about these gifts that came from this and how people, we all have these abilities, and how to help people take from the experience of that journey that I took, take what is valuable to them in their lives and be able to practically apply that, because I think that's the real value of these experiences. Who cares what happens when you die, you know? You'll find out. And it'll be different for everyone, you know, so there's no handbook about that either. So I thought, that's fascinating, but I want to get past the fascinating part. I want to say, how can we use this knowledge and experience in helping us live more fulfilling life now? That's what I think these experiences are for.
Okay, so this book is, tell us a little bit like how it's structured. You have the experience and then your recovery and then just talking, are there just several chapters kind of applying that experience to your life?
No.
How it's changed your life or?
Well, some changes for me, but I also realize that people, when they buy a book, they want to know what's in it for me, you know, for themselves. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm making sure that I do put that in a form that they can use. There are some tools and techniques that came to me as a result of this experience that I can share with people that really makes a huge difference in life. And so I can discuss that in the book, too, so that they'll have something they can take and actually use.
Can you give us an example of that?
Yeah. One thing is, since I specialize in the physiology business here, everything I see is about that. So I understand about how we experience through physiology and how the physiology gives us clues and gives us signals about things that we're doing habitually that don't work very well. And yet, so we begin to recognize it through the physiology first, through little simple methods, and then we're able to begin to introduce a little shift, a slight shift right there that can break the cycle that it always goes to, some habit or something like that. And it gives you enough of an opportunity that there can be a shift, and it just like a bad habit, you can't get rid of it. But you can introduce a new one that maybe gradually will take the place of the old one and something new, more to your liking. So there is a little method technique with that, and I'll share that in there, other things
cool.
like that.
Now, you've got a workshop.
I talk about this and explain it, and then I give everybody a group session. So we have a number
of
people,
wow.
and we treat them all at once. And by the way, it was great because at the end I had people come up and tell me things that they were experiencing before they came, but I didn't know about. They didn't tell me beforehand because there was not an opportunity. But they came to me after the talk and shared their experiences. And like people came, one lady had a headache all day long. She said it was totally gone. Another guy had seen the dentist and his had a real problem with his jaw and some teeth there, and the pain had gone reduced about 85%, I think he said.
Wow.
Another person has an illness that causes some tremors in the physiology that go on all the time, almost never stop, and they stop the entire time during that. And,
wow.
And they also experience a very deep sense of integration and peace, very, very deep state of peace. So it does that. It helps to enliven consciousness in a way as well so that the physiology follows suit and you can experience that more expanded state of awareness. It does that. And by the way, one of the things that just so people know what that's about if they haven't heard, I am going, during that weekend, I teach the self-treatment, the Healing Spectrum's self-treatment method. So it's something that you can take with you and use. And if you ever talk to anybody that has it, they'll just tell you how much they love it. And I love it. I love teaching it, too. And, you know, again, I'll teach some of these little tools and techniques for helping life. And so we'll just be accelerating your body's natural healing processes. And one thing that we also talk about is changing the number one habit that causes suffering so that we can experience greater happiness in life.
The number one habit that causes suffering.
That sounds pretty heavy, huh?
Yeah. You gonna tell us what that is?
Yeah, in a nutshell, essentially, it's judgment. But not just general judgment. It's not like somebody says something to me and so, oh, that's a bad person and that kind of judgment. I mean, that happens after some other kind of judgment happens. I call it the Maha judgment, the mother of all judgments, underlying what gives the possibility to make those other judgments that create some suffering in life. Because, you know, if by the way, if you feeling great one day and you decide for some crazy lame reason, hey, I think I'd like to suffer. What could you do that would accommodate that desire? It would be make some judgments. Start judging things as wrong or right, good or bad, better or worse, any of that. And you'll see. It'll start happening. So the number one habit is judgment, but it's that first one. And all it is simply the judgment that you're separate. Mm. Because in my journey, I saw that we're not. It's impossible. Throughout the entire creation, every single particle, there is no separation between that and what you are, your consciousness.
Now, sometimes people have this fear or perception that if you don't have this judgment, that people are going to take advantage of you because you can't stand, that you have to stand up for yourself. And in order to stand up for yourself, sure, you have to be separate, you know, so.
Well, that's the impression that people have.
Yeah.
But there is a difference between judgment and discernment.
That is true.
So, you know, we use discernment. You know, if your friend's about to cross the street and there's a Big Mac truck barreling down, you're not going to say something like, you might want to be careful there or whatever. You'll really speak up and make sure that something good happens instead of something bad. That makes sense. And, or if you're out there too. So there is a difference there, and we get into that. But the main key to that, how you change that, is, again, through my work, is through physiology. Mm. Physiology gives you certain signals and clues, just like when you have pain in your body. Pain's not a bad thing. It's just to tell you that something's wrong, needs some attention.
Yeah.
So there are certain sensations in the body that happen after you've made that first judgment, and then all the other things start happening. So if you could learn to recognize it through the signals that your body will give you and introduce just some little tiny, tiny momentary steps, just very quickly, you can begin to change that habit. You'll see the difference.
Sounds fascinating,
and it works,
Mom.
It does. It does. A lot of people have things in their life that they want to change. Almost everybody does. Let's face it. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Nobody's perfect, but thee and me. I'm not sure about thee. You know. But, you know, the popular saying, of course, is we're all in this together. Nobody gets out alive. And so I can see why your title is so catchy, because it's a whole other take on it.
Yeah, to me, you know, life is eternal.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's like two sides of a coin. You have heads, you have tails. But if you turn the coin sideways on the edge and look, there is something in between. that unites both of those. So they're really the same. It's just they have their own individual quality of expression.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way we are as beings, souls, if you want to call it that. We're constantly occupying the entire space of creation, not just this body. So I like to help people have the experience, directly experience that, so in those sessions, so that it can begin to inspire them to realize that, oh, yeah, I am that, and the quality of that experience within physiology is that physiology likes that a lot and will be drawn to it more and more. And so it gets easier.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you feel that these techniques can be used to heal real diseases, that, you know, serious diseases?
Well, we've had a number of quite a few things that generally there's not a cure for sometimes. It goes the whole range from simple things to more complex. One example I could give is a woman had emphysema. However, I didn't know that. She came to a group session I was doing. Her friend brought her, and she really didn't know anything about me, and I didn't know anything about her. But I'm doing this group session, and I notice when, as I'm going through, I could actually see inside her rib cage. I saw that. I saw some brittleness and gray color and all, and it looked constricted. So I asked her about that. Do you have some problem here? Because this is what I see. And she said, oh, yeah. She laughs at it. I had emphysema for 40 years, you know.
Oh, wow.
Well, that would explain it. But so anyway, a few days after this, the spectrums were there and all, and then they left, everybody left. And two or three days later, I got a phone call from her friend and said, well, you know, she hasn't had to use her nebulizer since then, and that's good. Then I got another call a few days later, and she said she went to choir practice, and for the first time, people could actually hear her sing, and she didn't have to use her nebulizer either. So something was going on. At the end of the month, I got a letter from the woman herself, and she said she'd gone to her doctors to have her monthly checkup. And they came back and told her, you know, we don't know how to explain this, but somehow your lung capacity has dramatically increased. And by the way, that can't really happen. So she says, well, it did though, right? I said, yeah. Here's the funny part of the story is that they said, well, what have you done differently? She said, well, the only thing I did is I went to this meeting, and there was this guy, and he kind of had his hand up like this. And you can't see it on the radio, of course, but, you know, my palm is out, facing out. It was so funny because they said, oh, okay. And they're writing out this form, and they put faith healer. And I laughed, and I said, is that a category that doctors actually use?
Wow.
Funnily enough, I've heard this story more than once with people that I've treated, that they use that term. So I joke about it, and I say, good, let's grab a tent and hit the road.
Yeah, well, I don't know that any healing can occur without faith.
No.
Well, you know, there is the faith of either, the inner faith that's already there that drives us as human beings of why we're here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want the whole enchilada, you know. We don't want to just part of it. And so that's what it is. But in this case, the work I do, it does not require any outward sense of faith, that it doesn't matter if you hope you could get better or not, because it doesn't work on that level. This is much, much subtler than that.
Wow. Well, Thomas, we only have a few minutes left. We always like to ask our authors about how they got their book published, you know, how mm-hmm. they're going about publishing. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, the first one, you know, thank God that I'm just a contributing author to, they pretty well took care of all that.
Right,
I didn't really have to do much. I participated in part of the marketing, the Amazon bestseller campaign, because you know, that's just how you have to do it anymore to get it done. So, but my book has gone through a lot of different paths to get where it is. When I first wrote it, I shared it with a few people, and I wanted to know if they liked it, and they did. And then I have a cousin in Dallas, Karen Lebo, and she has written over 100 books.
Oh, my word.
Prolific writer, and she's, you know, like a top-selling person over at Penguin Books. And I sent it to her, figuring she might know a thing or two.
Yeah,
it turns out that what I'm writing is really what she likes. It's one of her favorite subjects. So she was very inspired by it, and she liked it. And she gave me a lot of really good suggestions, just a critical review.
That's wonderful.
And I took almost everything she said and did that, and that made a huge difference.
Mm.
And so, you know, I've had a little help that way. But now I'm at the point now where I have to start turning it over to more, like professional editors now to fine-tune some things and all.
And then you've got two more books in the works?
Yeah, I have one that's really going to be more about the healing spectrums because okay. I have file drawers full of case histories and all. And mm-hmm. I thought it'd be interesting to share that and the story of how that happened to me and all.
And when do you find time to write? I mean, with all
Well, that's crazy. You know, that's hard. I get these spurts. I'm not a very disciplined writer. I mean, I never set out to be a writer, actually. I never had a burning desire to do that.
Well, you know, I wish we had more time to talk more about how you actually, your writing process and your future books, but we are unfortunately out of time.
Yeah.
I want to remind our listeners, we've been speaking today with Thomas Gates, the contributing author to Thank God I, Book 2, and he's also offering the Healing Spectrums Weekend Workshops. And if you're listening on Friday, stay tuned for James Moore with Planet Earthwild, and we will close with a quote from Mom.
Okay, this quote fits in, I think, with this book, Thank God I, because the fact is we are in control of one thing only, and that is how we perceive life. If you perceive life as positive, that's how it will be.
Thanks for listening to Writer's Voices. Thank you so much for being with us today, Thomas.
Oh,
I really enjoyed
it. My pleasure. I really enjoyed being here.
And we'll look forward to reading your book when it comes out.
Great.
Writer's Voices is hosted, produced, and engineered by Monica Hadley, Caroline Kilborn, and Shemaine Montana. Archives available at KRUUFM.com and WritersVoices.com. Writer's Voices is a production of KRUULP 100.1 FM, broadcasting from the Cultural District in Fairfield, Iowa.